Mark, that statement will be in English. It's one word that's very hard to say in English. HaRebbe! Explain what the word darkness means. Last week we've been learning you get into the learning and you start feeling alive again, and then you come to Akasha and for a second you think you could just run upstairs and everything will be enlightened. Last week, a lot of people were trying to call me, and a lot of the Talmidim, and I couldn't talk. The Rosh is speechless. There's no way one can describe the experience of spending even a moment with him. When some of our memory of the Shiva is inevitably going to be forgotten, then we'll be able to talk. But the picture right now is so stark that you can't even put 1,000 words to it. Or a few meisim, maybe we could say over. Just meisim. Tell you one meisim. It's late. Perhaps this mice will help you listen. If anybody has to go, they can go. I'm only going to tell you mice that I was there for. 10 years ago, when Rav Steinman and the Gary Rebbe first came to America, so they made this whole parade. They were going to come to the Mir Yeshiva. If I remember correctly, the time set for the Groysa presentation where they would come at the yeshiva was going to be 1:30. So, we were in Shir. We were learning Ksubis at the time. And I remember the tension and the excitement started building. It was 1:10, 1:15. And we already heard the police coming and starting to close off the streets. And the entire elementary school started piling out, hundreds, thousands probably. And the high school emptied out. And it's 1:15, it's 1:20. Everybody in the room is sitting there getting a little itchy. And there's a knock on the door. One of the people involved, one of the involved people, and he says, Rav Steinman kommt, the Gary Rebbe kommt. So Shiva said, Er ist schon da. They're here already. So he said, no, about 5-10 more minutes. I can learn it. Everybody in the Shia takes a deep breath. And the Shiva goes on. And already the streets outside the window, right outside the window, the street is Thousands of people are there already. It's 120, 125. Another knock on the door. The door opens a crack. They're coming. They're coming. Shiva said, Zezen and Shainda, are they here? He said, no, about. They'll be here any minute. Shiva said, any minute? A minute? 1 minute. It was 1:29 already. And the Shiva, everybody's already breathing, you know, and the tension. And the Shiva looks at his watch, Taka, one more minute, they're supposed to be here. And then they announce they're going to be there. And the Shiva looked at the Olam, and he said, Ein me'minut! Lo me'harein chapin locha toismis! And he started a whole new Inyan. He didn't just finish off with the last kasha and repeat of tarets. A whole new Taisvis. This was going to be a 20-minute project. And there's one more minute. And everybody's sitting there in sheer. And what do you know? He went through the kasha and Taisvis. And the tarets and Taisvis. And he went through the entire Taisvis. 10 minutes. No sign of Ripsteinem or the Gerrera. He said, Rabbi, say it's a Maisa Satan. And then like, as if looking at the Satan himself, he said, Sivet nisht helfen. Satan is not going to help if you try to stare us. We're going to keep on going. Kavod HaTorah is Adif Mitalm HaTorah. When they come, we'll come and greet them. 1 minute. One minute of Torah. The Shishiva's, I could say style, I don't know if you could say style, but from what I was zeicha to glimpse a little from a little tiny window that I was able to see, the Shishiva was not into precious. He wasn't into anything. Atgelebt mit precious gomor. You go into his house, you go in by the Shiva, whatever he has on his wall is from what I or a friend of mine bought him and pushed it to make us feel good. He hung it up on the wall. His house is beer. His table has 5 unmatching chairs. With the cushions coming out of the plastic. He was not into precious. He was not into precious. He'd come to a bris, he'd come to a suda. He wouldn't just take a piece of bread and dip it in salt. If it was tuna, chreis, whatever it was that was there. He wasn't bedavka trying to be Pirish. He wasn't bedavka trying to be a bal chesed. He wasn't trying to be a bal tzedakah. When we opened the kollel, this was the first time he spoke about his sickness openly. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to readily accept the shlichus to take out Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I am not a bal koyach to take out Klal Yisrael. Hashem, you have to take them out. If you take them out, I could be the middleman. But I can't do anything. He made a whole lundish thing with shlichus, shlichus and k'moisik, the two pshatim, the shliach is doing for the mashaloch, or the mashaloch is doing through the shliach. But he ended off his shmuz and he said, Ribbono shel olam, you sent us to America with a shlichus to plant Torah in America. He said, we couldn't do it. He was talking about himself and of Aaron. He says, we're not Bali Koyach to plant her in America. Ribbono shel olam, only you are. You are the Bali Koyach. Of a Kev Koyach is weiter that we could do. The job's not done. That's when I went over to him and I said, the job's not done. The Shiva, maybe there's something still more to do if you're interested. In the 30s, maybe some more Torah. He wasn't into anything. He was a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch. He would open up the Shulchan Aruch. He wasn't into extra chumras. He wasn't into Maisa Chasidus. He wasn't into Lefnim Mishuras Adin. What the Shulchan Aruch said he did, without any fudging, without any excuses, without any tiredness, and the Ereshit Simin says it, Oz Kanomer, he was Oz Kanomer. Not beyond the law. He said when Rav Shach was Nifter, he said, if we paint Rav Shach to be somebody that did way beyond the letter of the law, and he said it in English, he says, as memeint, as Rav Shach is a star. If you make a star out of Rav Shach, then you lose touch with him. You feel nothing from him can be learned from. That could be negiah to us because we're simple people. He said that Rav Shach himself, the Rosh Yeshiva once went to Rav Shach and must have asked him about some anhaga. I don't remember specifically what it was, but he asked Rav Shach about something that he did, and Rav Shach says, "What is it? Ich hit Shulchan Aruch. I'm just doing Shulchan Aruch. I've been a Shulchan Aruch yet." In Shir, if somebody would call the Rosh Yeshiva, he took it as an insult. You'd say, "What is that Rosh Yeshiva? Masad the Kedushin." If you'd say Rebbe, he took it fondly. His whole zehirus for coming to Seder, and it was mind-boggling. I don't have to tell you stories. Everybody has hundreds and hundreds of stories of the mesiras nefesh of jumping flights. If he was away, to get back, not to get back a day early, to get back a Seder early. But I'm not going to go into those stories. Do you know why he did that? The name, Tlefnim Yeshuas Hadin. He could have learned his own Talmud Torah. He could have learned on the plane. He could have learned anywhere. Everybody knows that. He said, "I'm a steer yoim. I'm hired. And it's geneva if I don't show up to Seder." Rabbi Shapansky just told me, I went over to Rabbi Shapansky to question him something about the hesped he gave. And he told me that when he became a chassan, when Rabbi Shapansky became an Aden, by the Rosh Yeshiva, it was over Bein Hazmanim, and the Rosh Yeshiva was sick. This was during the tekufa of, I think, his first heart attack. And Rav Shapansky, being a chassan, crazy, went up to the Rosh Yeshiva to ask him for money for something. And the Rosh Yeshiva said, "I'm shuldig zichobnish king God." It's not such a pleasant thing for an Eden to hear. And he said, "Was made the shved?" He said, "I don't have a penny. I don't have any money." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Ich arbeite nicht. Ich bin achoyle. Ich hab nicht genommen. I didn't take a check." So Rabbi Shapansky said, "But you're a poyel." And a poyel, halacha is a hired worker who's hired to fulfill a job, even if he's sick and can't come to the job, as long as the job will meet its completion, he gets paid. He says, "I'm not a poyel, I'm a schir yoim." He held up his shulchan aruch. He's a schir yoim. He's a hired day worker. If he doesn't show up for a day, he has to deduct payment. He said he did not take a paycheck that month. A lot of people could talk about what's right and what's wrong, and theoretically, yeah, I wouldn't take a paycheck too. But by the time it comes to the payday, they find 15 heterim why they could take the paycheck. Shiva just, I can't say plain and simply, but strongly and simply kept Shulchan Aruch with such a yira and a zehiros and a pachad and a yira shemayim, without going beyond and looking for chumras and looking for extra things. But good gehitin, it was a simon in Shulchan Aruch of kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. That wasn't lefnim meshuras adin, that was halacha. It's a simon in Shulchan Aruch. Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. It's not a milsa b'chassidusa. He was so straight. I mean, many people have gone to his shir, and when he would get lumdish, people who weren't malumid yet, in understanding Yeshiva's Lamdas would walk away feeling maybe it was a doichik, it was such a hair-splitting chiluk, like, yeah, you walk away a little uncomfortable. The Rosh Hashiva was so zahir from the slightest deviation from truth. It was the second to the last day, or the last day of this man. This must have been about 7 years ago in Baba Kama. I came over to the Rosh Hashiva second Seder. This was mamish at the end of his man. And I told the Rosh Hashiva Svara in by a bar, when the shar falls into a bar, Vamesi Allah in Shina Koinat. I told him Svara. And the Rosh Hashiva got scared. He got scared. Like, as I was saying, he started like, Nay, Zoglish Tazai. I was like, okay. He grabbed me by the arm. He walked me straight into the middle. And at that time, the middle of the base of Medrash was still open. There weren't that many Talmidim. It was a nice big floor, probably about as wide as here, the Bima. This is right in the center of the base of Medrash. He brings me in and he starts calling one bacher after another into the center of the base of Medrash. And there's a big crowd. And he called Rav Yitzchak Laskin, his Talmud Novik. And there's a big, everybody's crowding around, and he's made a big announcement. He said, Midaf Ratav in a bocha for an emergency. There's an emergency over here. Everybody was, what? El Kizokta Kruma Svara. He said something crooked. He wasn't joking. If there's one part of a person's logic that gets crooked, it spreads. And he was so scared and careful from that. I can attest to you, at least according to my understanding, I never heard a daishik from him. You worked at it, and you understood. If you understood that hair-splitting vart that he said, it was clear as night night and day, in black and white, it was emes. And there was no dechukim. It wasn't this, not so mashma. It was clear. Just end with one vart, and I think it was probably the Rosh Hashiva's message to America. I was in Shir once, and this I can't remember which Masechta it was. I can't remember, I'm sorry. And Rabbi Fried, a Rosh Kollel of Dallas, big person in Kiruv and tremendous Talmud Chacham, he wrote a very well-known Sefer. Big Talmud of a lot of Gedolim, he learned by Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Yeah, he fished around to all the Gedolim and he was Meshamish then. And in Elul, he would come in to bring his young light from the Dallas Kollel to get Chizuk. Every Elul, he brings them in. So Moshe, he'd come in very often to Rav Hillel David shul with them, and they'd have a Friday night for Rav Hillel David. They would go into Rav Aaron Shechter. He'd bring them around to the different Rosh Yeshivas to get some Chizuk. And he himself came into Shir. And I met him. My father knows him from all the Kiruv my father does. And I offered him a seat right next to me in Shir. And Rabbi Fried sits down next to me. And after the Shir, I asked him, I said, so what do you have to say? Nope. What do you have to say? He said, I'll tell you the truth. I'm not a Rangatan in the Sugya. So to be a fear judge on the Shir itself, I can't be. But he said, Dovi, let me tell you something. In all my life of Shimosh Talmidei Chachamim, I've never seen such a havas talmidim before in my life. Just from the way the Yeshiva looked at a bacher and addressed a shayla, there was such tremendous ahava. I was once talking to him second Seder, and it was a pretty empty start to second Seder that day. And the Yeshiva stopped me for a second in the middle. And he called over a bach who had just walked in. And instead of his usual tvia, why were you late? He said, you come from the dorm, coming from the dormitory? So bach was like, yeah. He said, Sferandot in Anoilom? Is there a big crowd there? So bach says, I don't know. He says, go check if there's an oilom. Tell them to come. The bach went back to the dorm and sure enough, you know, I continue my conversation with the Yeshiva. 5-10 minutes later, the bacher comes back in. And the Yeshiva says, Sigeven and Oilam, where are they? So the boy said, no, there wasn't an Oilam. One or two boys. Eins da de zwei Bachrim, das ist nicht ein Eulam. That's what he said. Every one person was so chashuv by him. So chashuv. One person was an Eulam, it was a Rashi. There was nothing the Rashiva said that wasn't a Rashi. It's a Rashi. By Hagbalah, by Hasinai, Hashem says, Penafel imenu Rav. So Kashi, afilu nafel echen mayhem Rav hulafanai. Last night I pulled out a tape from 10 years ago when he met Rav Steinman. And this was about a week into Rav Steinman's visit. This was an unbelievable story, and I'm going to leave you with that. We were learning Subis, Perik Ilaniris, Toysvis, Eaf Shila Hadure, he's talking about Gazal over there, and Ashina, he's sticking it in the guy's mouth, talking like Averoi. And the Rashiva had a kasha on Ayelet HaShachar, Rav Steinman's sefer. He had a guard over there on Toysvis. Rashiva had a kasha on Geneva, and it's Avod Min HaOilam. Rashiva, in his classical, it's kedai to come all the way from Eretz Yisrael to raise money for an organization. It's not kedai even to go back to Eretz Yisrael to ask him for a teretz. I think the Rashiva thought that Rav Steinman was already back in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it seemed from the question. One of the Bachim snuck out of the room. This was before the cell phone days. He ran downstairs to the public phone. I don't know how. He got a hold of the phone number to the host that was hosting Rav Steinman in Borough Park. And he said, the Rosh Hashiva wants a meeting with Rav Steinman. Hashiva didn't call for this. But this is what the Bachim said. The Baal Vos said, okay, I'll tell Rav Steinman, okay? Tell Rav Steinman, fine, we're ready. The Bacha comes back up this year, and the Rashiva was still hacking up the kasha and building it up, nachamol. And he said, nu, this is nish kedai. So the Bacha said, yeah, it's a kedai, we arranged the meeting. So Rashiva said, yeah. He said, yeah, he's still in Baruch Park, we arranged the meeting. He says, fine. We all got up. I was going to drive the Rosh Hashiva. Previous Bein Hazmanim, I almost totaled my parents' car. And Eckstein had tainus on me that I was going to drive the Rosh Hashiva in that van. So he pulled up a few minutes later. He got to take the Rosh Hashiva. And I got there a few minutes later. The picture of this meeting has been in the papers. I saw them. And so I was there. And they got into a whole conversation of learning right away, back and forth. Rav Steinman stood his own, and Rosh Hashiva stood his own. I don't think they came to any agreement. Rav Steinman did not have the last word, that's all I could say. And then the Rosh Hashiva gave a shmooze. Gave a short shmooze. A nice little crowd was drawn in that dining room. And he spoke, first of all, this is not my point, but he spoke about what it means to be a Rebbe. And he said, a Rebbe that invests as much koiches, all his energy, whatever he could, into a Talmud, the Rebbe's koiches don't wane a drop. You don't lose anything. Steinman had a kash on it, and the Rashiva had a teretz on it. And after the meeting, they walked each other out the door. And Rav Steinman escorted the Rosh Hashiva out. And I've said this over many times, but I did not have the exact lesson of the Rosh Hashiva, what he told Rav Steinman. And last night I pulled out the tape that I had, and I wanted to get the exact lesson the Rosh Hashiva said. And this was a message the Rosh Hashiva always carried to the Bachrim. And the Rashiva told, the Rashiva asked Rav Steinman, Was macht Torah in Eretz Yisrael? He was always worried about Torah. It wasn't his yeshiva, it was Torah everywhere. He was worried about Torah. He said, what's doing with Torah in Eretz Yisrael? Rav Steinman said, Torah waxed. Torah is growing. So Rav Steinman almost smilingly and, you know, like almost in a yiyush, you know, giving up hope type of smile, he smiled at the Rashiva and he said, Then what's with Torah in America? What's with Torah in America? And the Rashiva stood up, you know, with his whole, whatever height it was. And he said, and I'll read the Lashon, I wrote it down last night, and I think it's probably important for everybody to hear. He said, it says, Emes b'nei Torah. Manish. Emes b'nei Torah. Ze geben als op versteigen und lernen. Mir sehen dieselbe Torah umetum. Fahr die Milchama, nach der Milchama, Amerika, Baruch Hashem, Torah sprotzt umetum. The Balabatim here says, what was the Lashon? By the Balabatim, Oichet? Well, Shiva answered what he answered with the Balabatim. You can ask me afterwards if you want. But his message to us, we used to hear it in Shmuzin all the time. How much he was Machshiv, an American Bacher's dedication to Torah. And we used to take it as a chizuk shmuz. And after this meeting with Steinman, I believe it was a bacher named Israel Zakheim, and I believe there was a third bacher, I don't remember who, perhaps it was Shlomo Soroka, I'm trying to remember it in the greatest detail. We went over to him the next day. I think this was a Thursday, and he gave a shmuz again on Friday, and he mentioned a similar thing again in the shmuz on Friday. And we went over to him after the shmuz, and we said, come on, Rosh Hashiva. We said, you really think so? Do you really think so? And he looked at us so seriously. And he said, why don't you believe me? He said, in Europe, there was no such thing as Messias Nefesh Torah. He said, you had nothing no matter what. You didn't have two pairs of pants. You didn't have a side dish for your meal. You didn't have money to spend, and you didn't have a 2009 car to drive. You didn't have anything. You may as well learn. There was no reason not to. Any person who had epis a cup, and epis a desire for ruchnius, may as well dedicate himself and learn. He said, in America, every bacher that goes through high school sees he has access to everything. Everything is at his fingertips. Money, cars, fun, relaxation, shopping, whatever it is. And he says, when a bacher goes and gives that up and he decides, oh, I want to learn, he says, it's greater Messias Nefesh than we had in Europe. He says, and you're going to be zeicha to greater siyata d'shmaya. That's what he used to say. And he was sure of it and he was confident in it. And that was his message to us all the time. And I think if there's the greatest thing, if we could perhaps take away from the Rashiva and learn from him, it's plain and partial. Chazal say, Torah maybe to everything. And Torah doesn't mean all the wonderful stories you hear from the Rashiva. It's not what it means. It's not what Torah means. Because all the stories you heard about the Rashiva was after the Rosh Hashiva was already kind. After he was already the Rosh Hashiva. But the way he became the Rosh Hashiva was he fought for it. When he was a bacher, when he was young, and when it was hard, he learned. And if it meant Seder was over, you know what? Push a drop fighter. And if it meant he was tired, push a drop fighter. And if it meant it was a busy day, you know what? A little more anyway. And as Rabbi Kopp said, you know, if the boiler blew, they have this weiter. But it didn't come from the tremendous, tremendous asmada in one shot. But Torah is Moshech. And if a person bekvias, the nekudo is the kvias, as everybody says, a person is kveya atzma, you know what, even one seder, you know what, everybody take on one more minute of Torah every day. 1 minute, a mishnah, a halacha. That was the Shiva. 1 minute. And his whole godless Torah was gebait from those 1 minute when he was young. There are stories of him already in Shanghai as well, but I'm sure in Shanghai he was still fighting for it. I went and I asked Rav Shapansky, and I asked him, I said, you as an Aiden, tell me, In Shanghai also, the Rosh Hashiva was such a natural love for Torah, or in Shanghai you feel the Rosh Hashiva was fighting for it. And he said he doesn't know. I'm not the Rosh Hashiva's Edom, and I can't say, and I never saw the Rosh Hashiva in Shanghai. But I saw times where the Rosh Hashiva fought. I saw now when the Rosh Hashiva fought. You can't imagine what it meant to fight. I said I'm not going to say stories that I myself didn't experience, so I'm not going to say over the things that I verified today by the Shiva from his own kids, and I asked two kids to tell me over mice, and I heard these stories and they're verified, but I'm not going to tell them all. But from when I saw myself what the Rosh Shiva fought for, you know, they sent in an Elul, I think it was Elchanan, one of the twins, I don't know which one, he came in an Elul for a few days to share. And supposedly, the reason why he came to Shir was because the family was sure that the Shiva would fall asleep in Shir. Because the entire day, we didn't realize this is Shiva. We were so complacent. We saw the Shiva come in and give Shir. We couldn't imagine what was going on. We were so sure he'd be fine. He came in and he gave Shir. They sent in one of the Shiva's sons. In case the Rosh Hashiva dozes off in the middle of Shir, he'll continue the Shir. And he never dozed off. He went back to Lakewood, the son. He said, he's going. And he would come home to Rosh Hashiva and he'd be out for the rest of the day. He fought. And we saw that he fought. It wasn't just natural. He fought. And if we would just fight for an extra minute, lav davka to take out the cell phone when it rings, lav davka to end the chavrusa shop, 1 minute early because this comes up. What's going to happen if that one thing is going to wait an extra minute? Probably nothing. But one less minute of Talmud Torah could be machrevavel.